All right. Well, I like to do this interactively, the way Srila Prabhupada did. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5. Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Text 12. Sa.
Sa.
Yada.
Yada.
Anuvrata.
Anuvrata.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Pashubudi.
Pashubudi.
Vibhijyate.
Vibhijyate.
Anya,
Anya,
Esha,
Esha,
Tata,
Tata,
Anya,
Anya,
Aham,
Aham,
Iti,
Iti,
Beda,
Beda,
Gata,
Gata,
Asati,
Asati.
You might not have this in front of you, but if you listen, you can repeat. They're short lines. Sayadanu vrata pumsam.
Sayadanu vrata pumsam.
Pashu budir vibhidyate.
Pashu budir vibhidyate.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Iti beda gatasati.
Iti beda gatasati.
Sayadanu vrata pumsam.
Sayadanu vrata pumsam.
Pashu budir vibhidyate.
Pashu budir vibhidyate.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Anya esha tatanyoham.
Iti beda gatasati.
Iti beda gatasati.
Sa.
Sa.
That Supreme Personality of Godhead.
That Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yada.
Yada.
When.
When.
Anuvrata.
Anuvrata.
Favorable or pleased.
Favorable or pleased.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Of the conditioned souls.
Of the conditioned souls.
Pashubuddhi.
Pashubuddhi.
The animalistic conception of life.
The animalistic conception of life.
Quote, I am the Supreme and everyone is God.
I am the Supreme and everyone is God.
Vibhidyate.
Vibhidyate.
Is destroyed.
Is destroyed.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Esha.
Esha.
This.
This.
Tata.
Tata.
As well as.
As well as.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Beda.
Beda.
Distinction.
Distinction.
Gata.
Gata.
Having.
Having.
Asati.
Asati.
Which is disastrous.
Which is disastrous.
Translation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
So please repeat. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased.
When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased.
With the living entity.
With the living entity.
Because of his devotional service.
Because of his devotional service.
One becomes a pundit.
One becomes a pundit.
And does not make distinctions.
And does not make distinctions.
Between enemies, friends, and himself.
Between enemies, friends, and himself.
Intelligently he thinks.
Intelligently he thinks.
Every one of us.
Every one of us.
Is an eternal servant of God.
As an eternal servant of God.
And therefore we are not different.
And therefore we are not different.
From one another.
From one another.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When Prahlad Maharaj's teachers and demoniac father asked him how his intelligence had been polluted, Prahlad Maharaj said, "As far as I'm concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted. Rather, by the grace of my spiritual master and the grace of my Lord Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. But under the influence of the external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another." So friends and enemies is the basic concept of material life, especially politics. And Hiranyakasipu, Prahlad's father, was a big politician, a big demon. And he was very much absorbed in friends and enemies. And Prahlad Maharaj is giving a very important instruction, which is that when one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he sees that everyone is the same. They're all eternal servants of God. And no one is a friend and no one is an enemy. So this friends and enemy concept is very subtle. I mean, it can even enter into an association of aspiring devotees. There's two sides to this. Explains what our vision should be, but it also explains that vision can be achieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. And any other conception is pashu buddhi. You know, the word pashu is animal, like the intelligence of an animal, which is very common. I mean, outside of Krishna consciousness, pretty much everyone is pashu buddhi. This mistaken idea of friends and enemies has now been corrected, and therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, this is Prahlad speaking, I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Actually, that idea of friends and enemies is based on oneself being in the center. Like my god brother Gaurijan Prabhu sometimes says that we all conceive of life as a movie, and we are the star of the movie. We're the hero or the heroine. And we want everyone else to play supporting roles. And if someone doesn't play their part the way we want, then they become enemies. And if they do, then they're friends, as long as they continue. So, this is, in fact, the whole process of devotional service is replacing the conception of ourselves being the center with the idea that Krishna is the center. And there are different stages in devotional service. You might know, it's Rupa Goswami's verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita and many other places in purports. So, ado shraddha, first is faith. Hari Bhakta was asking about planting the seed of bhakti. So, shraddha is the beginning. Shraddha means faith. Faith and attraction. So that's the beginning. Ado, in the beginning. Ado, shraddha, tathas, sadhu, sangha. Then, when there's a little faith, one associates with devotees. That's the whole idea here, to bring people into the association of devotees. Ado, shraddha, tathas, sadhu, sangha, tathas, bhajana, kriya. Bhajana, kriya means that one begins to actually practice devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada generally places taking initiation in that stage of bhajana kriya. Then, after bhajana kriya is anartha nivritti. That means eradicating anarthas, unwanted habits, unwanted thoughts, unwanted behavior. And then comes ruchi, taste. When one actually has more taste for Krishna consciousness than for anything else. And there actually, it's described, there are two divisions of ruchi. One is that one, they both mean that one has more taste for Krishna consciousness than anything else, but in one division, that taste depends on how nicely the kirtan is performed, or, you know, how nicely the lecture is delivered. And then the other ruchi is like, even if it's not very nicely performed, they still have more taste for that than anything else. Then asakti, that's like quite an advance, that's attachment. So that's sadhana bhakti. Those seven stages are sadhana bhakti. Then comes bhava, that's ecstasy, that's liberated stage, and then prema, that's the ultimate goal. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that this process of advancement involves a shift from oneself being the center to Krishna being the center. So pretty much up until ruchi, we're still the center. I mean, we have faith, we associate with devotees, we follow the regulated principles, we take initiation, but still we have that tendency that we're the center. And after anartha nivritti, then anartha nivritti start to be sort of equal. And then ruchi, and then it's more like Krishna's the center. But it's gradual. And then when you get to bhava and prema, yes, Krishna's the center. I'm an insignificant servant of Krishna. So, as long as we're the center, then we think of friends and enemies. And when Krishna's the center, there's no more friends and enemies. Except if someone's an enemy of Krishna. It's not based on how they relate to me, it's based on how they relate to Krishna. And a preacher does make distinctions. Prema Maitri Kripa Peksha, that he should, this is like intermediate platform, it's pretty advanced. He gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he makes friends with devotees, and he's merciful to the innocent. You go out and preach, give them books, give them prasad, and give them invitations. And upeksha, envious, he neglects them. We don't preach to them because they're envious, and if you preach to them, they get become more inimical. We can engage them, we can still give them prasad, but we don't preach to them. Or, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we pray for them. That is sadachar, that's the behavior of a devotee. We don't go to preach to them because we know that it won't have a good effect, but we pray for them. Like Prahlad prayed even for his father. Now, someone asked a question about the border patrol and the children being separated from. Who asked that question? And so the question is, to what extent should we be involved in trying to?
Yeah. So what happens when people are hurting other people? What is our responsibility in terms of getting involved to help, or is it just understanding that the people's karma is their own, and so like where is the detachment there, and where is the amount of service there?
Well, we want to relieve people of their suffering, but trying to relieve them by material means may or may not be successful. And even if it is successful, for some time it won't last. So, but yeah, if they become Krishna conscious, then all their problems will be solved. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Well, yeah, a devotee is by nature soft-hearted. He doesn't want to see people suffer. But he knows that the real relief will come from devotional service. It's like when I first met Srila Prabhupada in Boston. So pretty much every second night, it was like that. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, there was a program at the temple, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, there was a program outside. And Sunday was the feast. And generally, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he would speak at a university. And one of the first ones was Harvard University. And so, after his talk, he took questions, and one student, he said, you say we should chant, but, what good will that do for the people, you know? And then he said in Russia, there was some... I think there were people who chanted the Jesus prayer. But anyway, so he said in Russia, you know, things really changed when there was a revolution, you know. This chanting, what's, you know, that's not going to make any real change. You know, revolution made the change. And Prabhupada said, the people in Russia now, since the revolution, are they happy? He said, no. So Prabhupada said, then what is the use of that revolution? What was the use of that revolution if they're not happy? And he said, even if temporarily it gets better, it'll get worse again. So I think that applies to most efforts in the material realm. But even then, I mean, this is, I think it's an individual choice about elections. Srila Prabhupada said, personally, he never took part in voting, but he didn't have any objection if his followers voted. So that's one way of exercising your expressing your concern about some of the things that are going on. Yeah, I mean, yes, people are suffering their karma, but that's not our mood. That because someone is suffering their karma, we just let them suffer. Yeah, they are suffering their karma, but our mood is to relieve them. And of course, this is the best relief. I mean, there's so many examples when, when there was some political unrest. So there was a lot of refugees came from West Pakistan, which became Bangladesh, into India, and there was this big refugee camp. So the devotees went and they did Harinam Sankirtan. And those refugees were just, they would live for 12 o'clock noon when they would get like some very meager food to eat. But when the devotees were there and chanting, when 12 o'clock came, they didn't even care. And the officers at the refugee camp said, this has never happened. You know, they're just waiting to have their little ration. This is the first time we've ever seen them consider something else more important or more attractive. So, yeah. I don't know if we're in a position, but that would be the best thing. Just go down to the border and do Harinam. That would fix things up. Okay, so does that sort of answer your question? Okay. Demons think of everyone as a friend or enemy. But Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnav treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. And they're like, the whole political realm is just this. So, everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. So obviously this should be, of course this should be our mood. So now I'll come to that line which I quoted. Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Now this is like very direct instructions for us here. Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnav thinking. So now someone asked about envy. That's the basic reason why we're in the material world, out of envy of Krishna. That extends to envy of others. In a sense, even envy of one's own self as the eternal servant of Krishna. So, this is the way of Vaishnav thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. So there's a difference. Srila Prabhupada in different places explained there's a difference between transcendental competition and envy. Where there's envy, one does not admit the good qualities of the other person or the good service of the other person. That's envy. Transcendental competition means one appreciates the good qualities and service of the other person and thinks, yeah, I want to serve nicely like that, even better than that. See, it's in one, you're trying to bring down the other person to put yourself up. That's envy. The transcendental competition, you see the person is higher, but you want to go still higher, not pull the person down. Now here's a very important point. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability. Now you shouldn't, even among devotees, you shouldn't try to keep anyone down. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. So we're, you know, Krishna consciousness is really amazing because everyone is individual. We're all individual. The people we meet are all individual. And individual implies that we're different. I mean, we're the same. We're all servants of Krishna, but we're also different. And therefore, different approaches will appeal to different types of people. Like they say, different shlokas for different folks. So one approach might appeal to certain people, but not others. That's natural. But we shouldn't decry that approach, because it can't. No one approach will appeal to everyone. But that approach will appeal to some people. And so we should appreciate that servant taking that approach, because that's effective with some people. Some approaches might be more effective. We can always learn and improve. That was like a good question, you know, how do we know if we're taking the right approach? But in terms of our dealings with each other, we should appreciate this person's trying and they're meeting with some success. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Who knows 15:15? Sarvasya chaham ridisani visto matasmitir dhyanam apohanam cha. Now, does anyone know the meaning, the translation of that? Okay. All right. Sarvasya means all. Chaham, I, ridi, heart. Sannivistu, situated. I'm situated in everyone's heart. Mata, from me. Smritir. That's it. We got a winner. From me comes smritir, remembrance, gyanam. Apohanam. Yes, for me. So the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service life after life and are punished by the laws of nature. So that punishment that people are suffering comes because they have turned away from God. That's the result. But as devotees, we're merciful. We try to get them to turn their face towards the Lord so that they won't have to be punished. But they're bringing the punishment on themselves. But when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend, and everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. So that's the same point, that we're all servants of Krishna, but Krishna gives different devotees different dictations according to their individual desire to serve the Lord. And we should appreciate their service and the dictation that Krishna is giving them and not think that they're enemies because they're approach is different, something like that. Okay, so let's go back to the questions. We'll see where we stand.
Okay, so one, how do we get the special mercy of Mahaprabhu in order to make devotees?
Well, I would say the main thing is the sincere desire. And that's something His Holiness Radhanath Swami says often, that, you know, if you sincerely desire to help someone, you know, Krishna will give you the intelligence. A Mahaprabhu, Gaura Nithai will give you the intelligence. Srila Prabhupada will give you the intelligence.
How do we serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires?
Well, that is a very good question. That's not... So we'll start with the basic definition of bhakti, uttama bhakti. Anyabhilasita sunyam. Anyabhilasita sunyam means one should have no other desire. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse that if it was absolute, it would be anyavilasunyam, without any other desire. But the suffix ita, he says anyavilasita, means that in general one does not engage in devotional service with any other motive or desire. But the ita means that although that's one's general mood, in some extreme situation, like if someone is coming to kill you, you can pray to Krishna to protect you. Not that you even, it's a sort of natural, pray to Krishna. So that's not a violation of the principle of pure devotional service, because it's not your general mood to be praying to Krishna to do things for you, but in some extreme circumstance you may. So anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. So jnana means, karma means activity, adi, etc. Means austerities, whatever else. Anavritam means not covered by. So, like, if you think, I'll give one example, that if you think that you have to, give in charity to poor people, otherwise you can't progress in bhakti. That's covering the independent nature of bhakti, which doesn't depend on jnana or karma. Do you get the point? It's a little abstruse. Well, I'll give a different example. When Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, one devotee asked him, if we see a man drowning, should we save him? And Srila Prabhupada replied that actually, as devotees, we don't interfere with people's karma. But if the devotee was in a position to save the drowning person and he didn't do it, people could criticize, oh, he's a devotee, could have saved that person and he didn't do it. So Srila Prabhupada said that even though we don't necessarily have to do it as part of bhakti, but in consideration of loka vichar, like, say, popular sentiment, we could do it. So people don't criticize, and to the contrary, they may have some favorable opinion. And once in Australia, they were preparing for the Rath Yatra, and right above, you know, where they were putting together the chariot, an apartment caught fire. And there was a lady caught in the burning building, and the only way for her to escape was to jump out of the window. So the devotees used the cloth for the canopy of the chariot to catch her. She jumped and they caught her in that cloth. And so that was like reported in the newspaper. And then Srila Prabhupada had his secretary cut it out and send me the clipping and said that I should approach all the big people in Bombay and say, Krishna consciousness is rendering the highest welfare service materially and spiritually. And they were impressed that they took like the sacred cloth from Jagannath's cart to save her. So, yeah. So now where are we on the questions? What was the last one?
How do we serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires?
Okay. Oh, yes. Very good. So, yeah. So that comes back to that definition of bhakti. So, anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena favorable Krishna anushilanam cultivation. So, well, generally, we have three authorities, sadhu, shastra, and guru. And so if we want to confirm that what we're doing is actually favorable and it's not our own speculation, then those would be the authorities to consult. It's good. It's good to be humble. Someone asked about humility. Yes, it's necessary to be humble. And if you are humble, then you will consult. You won't be, like Prabhupada said, falsely proud. And we should do that. If you'd like. Confirm. Check and confirm.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us three practical examples of how we can implement that within our community and with our group here?
Three practical examples? Well, you're part of the group. Why don't you suggest? We don't know if he's humble or afraid. Well, one way is by, I guess, periodically meeting and assessing how you're doing and if you can improve, where you can improve, how you can improve. But sometimes, you know, there are too many opinions. And sometimes you can't do anything if there are too many opinions. Like once, of course that was a different situation, but once, you know, some of the leaders in, I think in Calcutta, there are like too many differences of opinions between them. So Prabhupada said, too many cooks spoil the broth. And he sent, you know, two of them from Calcutta to Delhi. So, you Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like Kamalakrishna Goswami, he used to feel quite strongly that, but it depends, you know, on the level of the devotee, but especially with senior devotees, he was saying, but you have to give them enough space to try things out, and even if things don't work out, you know, let them make the adjustment. Because if we're like hovering too much and everybody's like monitoring everyone else, might be a bit of a discouraging atmosphere. Now, I heard something like there's going to be like a second level to the, what was that? A part two to... So like for the more advanced students who come to the mantra house, then they get like a more direct philosophy. Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. So who's going to do that?
We have our first one. We're going to try it out with Tukaram Prabhu.
Wow. Powerful. Good. Good. Okay. All right, so back to the questions.
Okay. Next is, how do we plant the seed of bhakti to newcomers, and how do we properly water the seed?
Yeah, well, so I was sort of indirectly answering Ado Shraddha. We have to create faith, and I mean, book distribution was always our festivals. Yeah, I don't think yeah, book distribution, Harinam, which can include book distribution, festivals, programs, college programs. I think that's any way we can get to people and give them the seed, then it gets cultivated by sadhu sangha. Whose question was this? So is it answered or okay?
How can we eliminate envy from our heart?
Okay. So yes, so we come into the material world based on envy. That's what brings us into the material world, and that's what keeps us. And so there are different ways of approaching this, but one thing is, when you're envious, you don't want to recognize the good in another person. So like we were discussing, if we appreciate the good in others, that will help purify our heart of envy. I once asked that question to Srila Prabhupada, and I was thinking about it a lot before I asked him. I wouldn't ask him something unless I was convinced that he was the only one who could answer it. And so before he answered, he said, can you think of any reasons why you should not be envious? And I said, yes, because I'd been thinking about it. And the reasons I thought were that being envious just it affects my relationship with the other devotees, even with people in general, in a way that I didn't want. And then on another level, I was thinking there's no reason to be envious, because Krishna's unlimited, Krishna's service is unlimited. So I have unlimited chance to serve Krishna. It's not that if someone else is doing some service, it means that I don't have a chance. So why should I be envious of that person for having that service? So when he said, can you think of any reasons not to be envious? I said, yes. I didn't tell him what the reasons were, but I just said yes. So then he said, okay. So being envious means you don't like someone. So that not liking should be directed not towards devotees, but towards demons, who are always giving trouble to devotees. So, that's quite a significant answer. In other words, the other side of it is we should like devotees. You know, we shouldn't be envious of devotees. We should like devotees. And, you know, in that sense, envy, in the sense of not liking, should be, you know, directed against demons. But yeah, it's very, just on that point of not liking, I was a student of psychology. And I was told there was an experiment done in a high school where students were told to identify the person they disliked the most. And then, for whatever period, they were asked to be very nice to that person they didn't like. And at the end of the experiment, they all liked the people that they disliked before. I mean, usually we think, well, if someone's nice to me, I'll like them. But this experiment showed that if you're nice to someone, you like them. So, again, coming back to envy and not liking, so if you... So if you serve devotees and please devotees, then you like them, and that envy will go away. Even if there's a little bit there, it won't be significant enough to create any problems.
This was asked this question. How much do we try to help in situations where people are being hurt by other people?
But there was a second part about...
And what amount is our responsibility to help, and what amount is detachment and understanding that people's karma is their own?
Oh, no, we covered that. Yeah.
How do we nurture loving relationships with devotees, especially with our peers?
Well, that's a very good question. Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction enumerate 6 exchanges of love shared among devotees. Does anyone know any of these? Yes.
Giving gifts, receiving gifts, sharing our minds confidentially to them, and also keeping their own confidential thoughts, and feeding them, or like giving them prasadam and then receiving prasadam.
Yeah, very good. So, dadati pratigrinati. Dadati means to give. Pratigrinati means to accept gifts. Dadati pratigrinati. Guyam akiti prichiti. That's the central one. Guyam means confidential. Guyam akiti prichiti. It means to inquire confidentially and to, hear in confidence. Now this is a very important point about maintaining confidence, because this activity is essential, guhyamakyati prichiti. But if devotees feel that their confidence will not be kept, then they won't be able to reveal their minds in confidence, which will be very bad, because then they'll keep things inside, and the things that they keep inside can just fester and grow and become more poisonous. So this is a very important point, that we have to be confidential. Otherwise that whole process will break down, and there will be very bad repercussions. So didati pratigrinati guhyamakiti prichiti bhongte bho jayate jaiva. Seems to have come up a few times about prasad, serving prasad and accepting prasad. And there were a couple of other occasions when devotees asked Srila Prabhupada what to do about conflicts among devotees. And in one case he said, if each devotee thinks I'm the servant of the servant of the servant, then there won't be any conflicts. There's usually a conflict when one thinks, like, I'm the master, you should serve me. No, I'm the master, you should serve me. And then the other thing he said was to engage in common activities together. So, we have our morning program, kirtan. Let's engage in common activity.
How can we overcome pride and become more humble?
Yeah. One thing is, if someone asks a question and they want more on the subject, I mean, I'm moving along if I think it's covered, but if you think you want more, you can just ask. So how can we overcome pride and become humble? One method is to chant attentively, to try to chant attentively. Because when you do that, if you're successful, then cheto darpano marginam, all the pride and things will be cleansed. But even if you're not successful, it's humbling that, you know, you're such a great person, you can't even control your mind. You can't even hear one complete mantra without your mind wandering. So that's also humbling. and serving others in a way even acting humble. Like once I was there, someone asked Radhanath Swami how he became so humble. And he said he practiced. I mean, he didn't say it, but something like, you know, fake it until you make it. So, yeah. Even, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Garga Muni, because he saw everyone who was like bowing down to Prabhupada. He's very new, you know. He said, I don't feel like bowing down. And Prabhupada said, well, you should bow down anyway and the feeling will come. So acting humble, you know, behaving in a way that someone would behave if he or she was humble can lead to that. And I think that was also like what Radhanath Swami meant when he said he practiced. But then we shouldn't become proud. Oh, I'm so humble. But, yeah. Yeah, it's not good to be proud because you're humble, but it's okay to become humble because you're proud. All right, you want to reread that one?
How can we overcome pride and become more humble?
Okay, I think we covered it.
That was the last question.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have a question.
Yes?
We can or cannot discuss it now, but I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your experience from, like, prior to becoming a devotee in terms of chanting japa, like, what that experience was, like, starting to become a devotee as to where you are now, like, the mood or just, like, how your experience has changed over time from the beginning till now.
Did everyone hear the question? Well, it's gone through phases. I mean, I think it's quite common in the beginning one has very good experiences because one's too new to commit offenses. Yeah, but seriously, I remember now we can go and we can buy Tulsi beads and everything, but when I joined, you couldn't just buy ready-made japa mala with 108 beads. So they would have us go to a bead shop, otherwise known as a head shop in those days. And so we'd buy some string and some beads. 108, 109. And the devotees told me that while you're stringing your bead, you know, if you chant on the mala mantra on each bead while you're stringing it, at the end of it, you'll be in ecstasy. And it was like that. I sort of jokingly said, because we're too new to commit offenses. I mean, I know when I joined, and many other devotees had the same experience. They saw all the devotees as like pure devotees. They didn't see faults in them. And then another answer could be that in the beginning, Krishna gives you like some special mercy. You know, you might not actually be at that platform, but he gives you some special mercy to. So you know what's there, and that gives you impetus to continue. But I always felt like I had to chant 12 rounds before going on with the day's activities. Because I felt couldn't really function that well if I hadn't. And then later I heard Mahatma Prabhu quote Srila Prabhupada that if you don't finish your rounds by 10 in the morning, you'll be in anxiety for the rest of the day. I would say the Japa retreats definitely helped. I remember one of the first ones, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami said to me, "Frankly, we're the ones who get the most out of these retreats." So that's good. Burijan Prabhu also said that the best way to learn something is to teach it. So, but yeah, the mind is very tricky. These are my Japa books so there's this book. There was a time I would read like a quote. That's also good before you begin. So Burijan Prabhu gives these keys to good Japa, and the first key is chant Hare Krishna. Just do it. He said the mind will always tell you, the mind will always give you so many reasons why there's something more important to do than chant Hare Krishna. So that's the first thing, just to chant. And then, someone was quoting the other day the three P's, posture, pronunciation, and prayer. So, it's also very interesting how one responds to a crisis. It's sort of like a test, I'm going to surrender to Krishna more, or like Trudy Prabhu mentioned in Laguna Beach. He was in South Africa and he was like arrested, I guess. So they literally were holding a gun to his head, the authorities, discussing whether to kill him or not. And he commented that those were the best 2 rounds he ever chanted. sometimes these tests come, and are we going to take shelter of Krishna, or are we going to take shelter of our own means? And another thing is to chant, if you're initiated, chant 16 rounds, and if you miss, to make them up. Because I had cardiac bypass surgery, and I fell 63 days of rounds behind. Of course, there were some days I couldn't chant at all. But then as I was gradually getting better, I was still falling behind because I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't chant all. But I did, of course, in a way, I had the luxury of not having to work, so I eventually made up all those 63 days of rounds. So I think that's a very important principle. I mean, whatever minimum we set for ourselves, what's your minimum, Amar?
It's 4. Oh, yeah, I started with 3, but now I'm at 4.
Okay. And if you miss, do you ever miss?
No.
Okay, good. But whatever your minimum is, if you happen to miss, then you have to make it up. So that makes one strong. Yeah. I mean, there's a nice, very nice conversation. There are a couple about with Srila Prabhupada about chanting japa. And one was, so it was a morning walk in Nairobi, this one. And devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we know if the quality of our rounds is good? And Prabhupada replied, if the quality of your rounds is good, you won't have to ask. And he said, you know, like Rupa Goswami, you know, what can I chant with one tongue and two ears? If I had, you know, millions of tongues and billions of ears, then I could, that's quality. And then he also added, like, the mood of separation. But he said, you know, therefore we fix the minimum, you know, 16 rounds. It's a chance that quality will come. You know, but therefore the minimum is there. You must do 16. So that's a very good conversation. And chanting, of course, I always chant in front of Tulsi, if I can. And chanting with devotees who have taste, Bhaktivinoda Thakur reckoned. Even this chanting we all did together, that was like really good. It's all built up into a very good vibration. But I've experienced, and I'll be chanting, because sometimes we have, you know, God brothers staying here. We all feel it. Okay, so I'm chanting. This one time there were 4, well, including me. Then Ratatvaja Swami came in to chant with me. I could immediately feel like it going up. And Giridhari Swami was here then. So then when he joined us, Ratatvaja Swami and I could both feel it all. Okay, it went up more. And then Jayadvaita Swami was here that time, and when he came in, it went up even more. So, but yeah, they're, you know, senior devotees. But any sincere chanters, you know, their association, anyone who has taste, or even if they don't have so much taste, but they're making a real sincere effort, chanting with them does help. Yeah. In fact, that's probably what we should do next. Did you want to say something, Amar?
I have a question. If you are finished with the previous slide.
Yes?
Yeah. So earlier we were discussing karma. We said that the Lord dictates individuals as per their mentality. Can that be related to Krishna controlling our senses directly, or it's only to his purest devotees that he doesn't?
Well, that's the principle of pure devotional service. Now, That's another point, that someone can engage in pure devotional service from the beginning. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of an unripe mango and a ripe mango. They're both mangoes, but one is, you know, one is harder and more sour, and the other is softer and more nectarian. So even if you're sort of immature in devotional service, you can still engage in pure devotional service by that definition. You know, if you don't have ulterior motives, you can be considered a pure devotee, even though you're a neophyte, a beginner. So now what was your question?
Earlier while discussing karma, you said the Lord dictates individuals as per their mentality. Like if someone is suffering, then that can be considered as he's dictating as per their mentality.
No. If someone is a devotee, the Lord will dictate according to that devotee's desire. But if someone's not a devotee, he'll dictate differently. Like if someone wants to forget him, he'll dictate in such a way that they'll forget him forever and suffer the punishment.
Yeah. Is that still considered as controlling the senses of a non-devotee?
No. He has his free will. But that there is one verse that describes bhakti. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. That means Rishik means senses, so Rishikena, by the senses, Rishikesha. Rishikesha is the name of Krishna that means the master of the senses. So bhakti is Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. One engages in the service of Rishikesh with the senses. As one advances, Krishna takes control of the senses more. All right, so any more questions? So we'll do, or maybe we'll have another little break, stretch, get some fresh air, and then we'll do more japa. And I will read a verse relevant to japa, and then we'll do more japa. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.